You're listening to The Kelly Jo Show on Talk Jive Radio, a Dan Minden production distributed by the Institute for Native Arts and Media, a 501c3 nonprofit organization based in Norman, Oklahoma. The views and opinions expressed in this segment are those of the individual and do not necessarily reflect the INAM organization. Welcome, welcome to The Kelly Jo Show. Mr. Stanley Shunkamola is here with us. How are you today, Stan?
I am doing good.
Okay, so last time that we talked, we were off air, and we kind of got into this discussion, and I wanted us to have it for the masses, because I thought it was some really interesting content, and we were talking about, like, natives, like, actual native actors in cinema, and who's your favorite Indian in cinema? No, I don't know. Like, there's a lot to be there's a lot to choose from. Of course,
it's an interesting subject for
it
sure.
It really is. Now, let me ask you this:
to really think about.
Okay, so who's like the best dramatic? Because I don't know that we're necessarily really like there's got to be Indians out there with some range, right?
Sure.
Like, but so who do we know that's got the biggest range, the widest skill set as far as acting? And it could be any Indian dead or alive, because we can't leave out Will Sampson.
Okay, right. Yeah, right on. That's a good, actually, you know, I've seen a lot of interesting work from some of the new kids. I forget what her real name is from Reservation Dogs, but she plays Alora Dannett. And she's been in a couple of movies before that. And she did some pretty dramatic stuff. So it was she did really, really well. But I'm trying to think of old school. I think still who's probably still the king is Graham Greene.
You think? I thought you were going to say Wes Studi. Like, yeah, I mean,
he's close. He's close. I think it's Graham Greene. I mean, as far as like range and talent, his body of work is incredible.
That is true. And you know, Graham Greene is really, he's wholly dependable, right? Like, that dude can do whatever you want. My favorite Graham Greene role, I think, of all time, is Maverick.
yeah
when he was like he was the quintessential Indian in Maverick. Always got a scheme going, like, mm-hmm. always kind of playing their tricks on their white friends, and
no, that was a good one.
Kind of having to Indian it up.
Yeah, you know? I think you can tell I'm sure he brought a lot to that role.
While simultaneously speaking French, right?
Yeah. Like,
it was, I think that out of all of them, and he has a great body of work, and he's fantastic in whatever he does. But to me, Maverick, and that was just, I could see him being a lot like that. In real life.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. For sure. I think I'd have to go with Skins. It's an emotional role. I mean, it's, I don't want to say it's out of his depth. I mean, I think he did a really incredible job with it. But I mean, it's one of those, it was a real, like, real performance, you know, like, you could feel it. It's heartbreaking. It's funny. You know, I think that's probably one of my favorites of Graham Greene.
I think too, like, Michael Gray Eyes, him, and I haven't seen One Day in Rutherford Falls. I haven't, but from what I understand, he really, like, that's a great role for him, and he's been around for a long time. Like, he's legit too. Like, Gooch. Michael Gray Eyes is legit.
Yeah. Gooch. Actually, I have it on my DVR. I haven't watched it yet. It's called Wild Indian.
Yes,
he's the star. I've heard of it.
It's,
I haven't
in my
watched
DVR
it
too. And
I know I need to watch it. So I don't even really know what it's about. I just know it's him. It's called Wild Indian. I was like, okay, I have to record this. I have to watch it.
Okay, so what it is? It's like these two Indian guys. They're friends, and one of them gets in trouble, and one of them goes, and you know, so. kind of like that, where they've, you know, got to come back and choose, and like their past comes back to haunt them or something like that. So I'm interested to see it too. But like with In Cinema, I like to make a thing out of it to where I can sit there and rewind it, and with nobody yakking at me, to just, you know, if there's something funny, let me rewind it. And which some people don't care about that, but some people find it annoying, and and I'm spoiled too, and I'm like, wait, I didn't catch what they said, and I'll turn it back, and it takes me like 5 hours to watch a 2-hour movie.
Nice.
But you know, as far as like Will Sampson had that range too, even though he was so incredibly stoic. I mean, to me, that's a huge talent, where you can convey that humor and that seriousness and fear and all of these different things without changing your facial expressions, really.
For sure. I like, I was going to watch it too, but kind of beforehand, and I forgot. Is it Josie Wales?
The outlaw Josie Wales, yeah. Yeah, with Chief Dan George.
Oh yeah. It's Chief Dan George. Is Will Sampson's in that, right? Wasn't he?
You know what? I'm not even sure if I've even seen the outlaw. I know that The Man with No Name was there. I know I've seen The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Right.
But like those spaghetti westerns, they all kind of meld into each other. And I'm not really a Clint Eastwood fan. I know there's a lot of innards that are Clint Eastwood fans. I'm not of the Clint Eastwood generation. Like when Clint Eastwood was already an old dude when I was young. Like,
yeah,
the last of the Dirty Harry movies.
Right, right, yeah.
were coming up with him. And so I'm not of the Clint Eastwood generation. I'm more of the Val Kilmer generation.
Ah, there you go. So. Yeah, see, it's a cross section because I grew up watching Westerns. So it was, usually it wasn't my choice, but it's what it was. So, but I remember that one being, because there's Chief Dan George. I believe Will, I think he's Tin Bears. I should have totally brushed up. And then the third is, Navajo woman. I forgot her name too. See, like I'm totally unprepared.
We don't know any of these in and out.
I know, right? Like you. But it's funny. It's just that, you know, they had these roles, and so it's just from growing up, I remember, you know, just watching movies, period, you know, with natives in it. And yeah, just watching
and being excited. Like, hey, look at that. There's an Indian in there. But then again, like when you look at the spaghetti westerns and those things like that, like you saw people who you knew weren't Indian.
Oh, like, yeah.
You know what I mean? Kirk Douglas isn't Indian.
Oh, yeah. Kirk, they still do that now. I mean, we're just now getting to the point where people are looking for it. You can't just get by on the look anymore. You know, and people are wanting authenticity, at least in that aspect, you know.
And I think too, like with Facebook and social media and things like that, like there's enough Indians. I mean, Indian Facebook is a thing, Indian Twitter is a thing, you know, like there's enough Indians out there to where we can be like, no. That and look how we react when people do try to appropriate our culture and say they're natives, and it ends up that you're not native. And yeah, like Indian country turns against them.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a fairly recent new thing that, I mean, like the Hollywood in general, the industry is taking it seriously. I mean, you would get people, it would just depend on each production, but if a Western or whatever decided they didn't want to go with whatever, that was their prerogative. And see, now we're getting to where it's, you know, they can be held accountable for that, you know, people could demand that, hey, look, you know, you're essentially exploiting our culture, you know, at least let's get some authenticity to it. I think that's the big push right now.
Well, and false advertising too. Like, don't tell us that you got this movie that's got a bunch of endings in it, and it's James Remar. Even though I loved Wind Walker. Like, shame on me, because that's a great movie. Wind Walker is a great movie, but it was James Remar in the lead role, and so beautiful Indian women though. I mean, they got that right at least. But, you know, when you go and you look back at some of the famous endings, like Iron Eyes Cody, not an Indian. He was an Italian guy.
That's yeah. And not only that, I mean, he was a failed actor. You know, he was kind of at the end of his line. And they're saying, hey, go, you look, you know, you have this look, go look. And then he got the part and then he just ran with it, you know, and took That's how he became a star, which is what he wanted to do. You know what I mean? And completely 100% appropriated everything.
Yeah. With his one tier, like the one tier. And you know what? That's what people associate with natives.
Still.
Yeah.
There's still pop culture references to that, you know.
I mean, and like anytime you see anybody looking over absolutely anything with one tier, with the one single tear rolling down their face, you know what that's in reference to.
Right. Yeah. And probably people don't even know what the actual commercial was or what it's, but they know the image.
And what does that, how are we in this, in these modern times, how are we doing as being able to participate in this industry? And it's, I think that we're finally being able to take our place, but do you think that we need more native input from the ground up?
Absolutely. I mean, let's see what there's a new, I think it's on Amazon Prime. There's a new Amazon Prime special. It's like a mini series. It's called The English. And it's set in like colonial times, and so there's a character. He's I don't know if he was actually native in. It is supposed to be Pawnee, because it's supposed to be set in Nebraska during the Pawnee sort of when they were kicking him out. Basically, yeah. It's during, set in that time. So one of the main characters is Pawnee, and he's speaking legit Pawnee. And part of that was. She's part of a Illuminative, I think, is the organization.
And, Echo Hawk.
Yeah.
Abigail Echo Hawk.
Yes.
Yeah.
So she headed that up. They put her, like, let her, you know, I guess they went through and, you know, she saw through the hiring, and she coached everybody on the language. You know, she had legit people, you know, like 100% down the line, and that's almost unprecedented to take, because it's, you know, like I said, it's not like a main point of the story, but I mean, it goes a long way in making the story itself more authentic, you know. So I mean, everybody benefited from that collaboration. So I think we definitely need people in the producer writer departments, you know what I mean, the creative to ensure that you know it's not exploitative, and it's if you're telling the story about natives, it's authentic. You know, we have natives have a hand in telling the story, you know. I don't think we've ever really seen that.
No. And I don't think that we've ever really been invited or even just stake a claim in the collaboration, like, hey, this is ours and we're going to go ahead and we're going to tell this, because that's kind of the excuse that Hollywood has kind of given us, is like, well, we're just going to go ahead and tell it this way, kind of
thing. Well, without speaking on anything specific right now, it's still the Hollywood is just, it's glad handing. You know, it's going and making gestures and things, and then it's back to business as usual. You know, that's why I said, that's why I think, you know, I think it's important that we have people, you know, in producer roles, in director and writer roles to ensure, you know, that yes, they are respecting, they are being respectful, they are, you know, doing right, you know, at least by the story they're telling, you know what I mean? And we're still on the cusp of that, I guess.
But well, it's refreshing, at least we're a lot closer to it.
It's refreshing to see that it's happened. Definitely. I think there is an industry wide push to, you know, to keep that going. So we'll have to see. But I mean, I'm always gonna advocate, you know, more natives behind the camera. So I mean, it's just where it needs to be, and in front.
Well, and I think too, with Native women being able to tell our stories, because if there's one group that's completely marginalized, it's American Indian women. Out of all of the groups, and we have some really big stories to tell.
Big time.
And
yes,
we have been largely left out of all of that. And so
you left out of conversations of stories about Native women.
Yeah. And to be able to entrust those stories, and because that's all Native culture is. Our Native culture is based around storytelling, and that, because that's what we do. That's how we've always kept our history. That's how we've kept our language, is just to pass it on by oral tradition. And now I feel like we can have a larger impact, even through the internships on some of these shows and some of these plays and some of these things, and running lights and running coffee and running, you know, whatever that you need.
Just any opportunities. That's all it is. I mean, and that's opportunities that everyone else gets, that most, you know, maybe natives just don't have access to, you know? So, I mean, it's all of that. Definitely.
Whatever happened to Adam Beach? Where's Adam Beach been? Like, we're talking about Native actors and stuff, and I'm like, hey, wait a minute. I haven't seen Adam Beach. And for a while there, he was the only Indian working. Him and Wes Studi were the only Indians working.
Right.
Like, Wes Studi can work whenever he wants.
Sure. Sure, sure. I think maybe he's about the same. I don't know actually what Adam, I think the last thing I saw him in was Suicide Squad for about 5 minutes. The first one.
I didn't realize that Adam Beach was from Canada.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm looking at him. I'm looking at him on Google. And it says, is he Native American? And then under that, Native American actor extraordinaire. And
oh, okay. No, he's still working. He was in Power of the Dog. I didn't watch that though.
I haven't seen, you know, and I did watch him in Comanche Moon.
yeah.
He was really good in Comanche Moon. And nice. West, like that kind of felt like the very first Larry McMurtry Lonesome Dove production that had actual legit Indians. I mean, when you watch the original Lonesome Dove, Blue Duck is not Indian. That dude is not Indian.
Yep.
That dude's an Italian, Mexican, American.
I think by the time, like, because like that was my dad watched all that stuff. So I think at that point they just didn't, it was par for the course.
You know, the 80s, okay, yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, I think they were a little more tolerant of it, whereas now we're like, you know, get out of here.
Well, and two, Larry McMurtry is from like Archer City, Texas. That's just right outside of Wichita Falls. And there are a lot of people in Texas who think that they literally wiped the Indians out. They think they wiped out all the Comanche. They think that they wiped out all the Indians. And to see an actual Indian is shocking to them because they think we're all dead.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous that's even a thing still.
Well, but back in 1980, whatever, 82 or whatever, when they produced the first Lonesome Dove, that was still very much a predominant thought process, especially in Texas, when you consider just the political landscape and the tribes only got back to being tribes back in 1970.
I was going to say, especially in Texas.
Yeah. And so they don't really have anything like that. And so when they go to CAST or whatever, there was no advocacy for any kind of tribe or tribal members or anything, or talking to the Comanches about how their history and the history of their raids and what provoked those. And, you know, so it was a real, you could tell the production value where it came to the natives. You could tell they actually had some consultants about natives with Comanche Moon.
Yeah.
As opposed to the earlier Larry McMurtry work.
Well, I don't want to say it's push, but I've seen a trend. There's an old Western called Tell the Willie Boy Is Here. It's a Robert Redford, but it's based on a true story. So this native he was Paiute. He went to California and he got with this girl, and for whatever reason her dad wouldn't allow it, and you know, they kept having confrontations. So they got in a fight and he ends up killing her dad, and they go on the run. And then there's this giant posse that follows them into Indian territory. And the original Robert Redford is exactly like you said. It's, you know, it's all about Robert Redford. And I think it's some Italian guy. Oh no. I think Beretta is the native guy.
Oh my God. Robert Blake.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Tell the Woolly Boy Is Here. But anyway, so it's based on a true story. So actually there's a remake of sorts, but it's a retelling of the original story. It's got Jason Momoa. I think he's the Robert Redford character.
Ooh.
And they have I think it's Martin Sensmeyer. He plays the native guy, the guy on the run. And I don't know recast, you know, I got actual natives to play the natives, and they're running it just as the spaghetti Western that it was, you know. I don't know if it's released yet, I think it's still coming out, but I thought that was interesting.
I will say this though, I have a lifelong crush on Robert Redford. I love Robert Redford because, you know why? Because he likes Indian girls.
Jeremiah Johnson.
He's like, yes. And let I get, you know what, that's what I like about Brad Pitt too. Brad Pitt loves Indian girls.
Nice. Well, yeah. So, was he, what did he live, he lived,
he was in that,
where did
Brad
he live?
Pitt?
Yeah,
he was born in Shawnee.
Oh, okay.
And he grew up in Missouri. Okay.
Yeah.
But remember, okay, in A River Runs Through It, his Indian babe, like he's all kind of fights over his Indian babe. They got thrown in the same cell.
Yeah.
That's amore. Speaking of Italian, that's amore.
There you go.
When you're in the same drunk tank together, that's love.
Right.
But she was a heck of an actress. That young lady that was in that movie, A River Runs Through It. And I don't know if she was really, she seemed like she was real native.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't know. I don't know if I've seen her in anything else.
You know what? I don't know either. But there are, the point is there are a lot of great actors, native actors working these days. And I encourage all Indians, I don't care how old you are, there's casting opportunities everywhere. If you are interested, if you want to do it, it's kind of fun, even if you do get rejected all the time like I do.
And there's online things. Well, there's some that you kind of have to watch that, because there's some you have to pay for it, but they're legit, and there's some that aren't, that they do require you to pay, and then they're not legit at all.
I'm not paying to audition. If they ask me for money, I'm like, uh-uh.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think there's some that do offer, like you can pay for services, but the initial, just what you would upload your, you upload a headshot, all your resume, everything, special talents, And it's what actual like casting directors look for in each region, and they call it their I can't remember the name. I want to say Actors Access, I think, is one of them. It's like a legit one. But there's a couple of them that like the Hollywoods go by, you know, and anymore now it's not even, you don't go to an audition. You tape your audition and you send it to this and upload it to this. And I mean, you don't even have to live in LA. I mean, it kind of helps if it's in downtown Los Angeles to live there. But I mean, there's ways to do it, but I mean, I don't think there's many people know, or any people think they even have access, you know?
Well, and that's how Indians are too. Like we're behind the curve a little bit.
Definitely.
And you Definitely. Hear, you know, these different, just like Cheese's mom, Lane Factor from Reservoir Dogs. He told this story, and at the Muscogee Creek Nation Festival this year, about how his mom bribed him with McDonald's to go to that audition.
Nice.
Like, we'll go get McDonald's afterwards, like that. So you know, he was a young kid at that point in Edmond, Oklahoma.
I don't think a lot of natives, especially where I'm from, are even familiar with the whole filmmaking process. That's a big shock. And when people find out, you know, just what it takes to do that, they're like, oh wow.
Yeah. And so hopefully we'll find some and be able to encourage some natives to do that. I mean, headshots, and you know what, now it's not like it used to be with headshots. Like, you used to have to like go out and get a professional photographer to get you some headshots. The cameras in the phones now,
yeah, they're better than any
legit. get against the white wall and take a picture.
Yeah, these are better cameras than I've worked with way back when I was college working with cameras. So and you could just get one of those little TikTok ring lights. They're that's all you need.
It's so inexpensive. And you can record everything right there on your phone. You can record your whole audition on your phone. And so they are making it a little bit easier for that. And I've noticed a lot of these things too, where they talk about, you know, making sure you have transportation, making sure you know about X, Y, and Z and
right.
Unions and things like that. I think that all of these things, if a native is out there and wants to learn about the film industry and wants to break into it, I think that would probably be a good place to start too, or the unions, and even just, I guess, just what, showing up and volunteering, like, hey,
any call,
I'll carry a grip.
Yeah. Any call, cat bat for background or anything like that. That's just a good way to get started, to get familiar with, you know, set etiquette and things like that. So yeah,
terminology.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
That's the big thing. Well, Mr. Shogamola, thank you so much for coming on, talking about our favorite cinema Indians today. And I'm sure I'll talk to you about some other interesting topics here very soon. Thank you so much for taking the time to come and talk to me. Oh, we never did say, who did you say your favorite was? Graham Greene, right? I don't know.
Well, I think, yeah, you know what? Yeah, I'll go with you. I'll stand by that.
You're going to stay with Graham Greene?
I'll stick with Graham Greene. He's still my guy.
You know what? Do I have a favorite? I like that Wes Studi is, you know, I like him. I mean, you can't go wrong with Wes Studi. But Rodney Grant, he's been in a lot of things. I met him like when he was winding his hair.
Nice.
Amazing. And it was amazing. He had the prettiest hair I've ever seen. Like, winding his hair, no kidding. But yeah, I
met him when he was Injun Joe.
I might have to agree with you on Graham Greene. I think that, I mean, while it's like I said, I love Wes Studi. Wes Studi's one of us. He's for up sure. there. Like, you're like he's right there, but I think,
no, yeah, he's right there.
But I think, yeah, Graham Greene, I think he's our dude. So thank you so much for tuning in to the Kelly Joe Show, a Damon in production, distributed by the Institute for Native Arts and Media. The views and opinions expressed in this segment are those of the individual and do not necessarily reflect those of the INAM organization. For more information or to donate, email nativeartsandmediainstitute@gmail.com. You can always catch past episodes of any of our shows wherever you get your podcast. Thank you so much for your support.